Okay, good afternoon, evening, everybody. Today's daf or tomorrow's daf is Gittin Daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on daf Mem Beis on Beis. We are about five lines from the bottom of the page at Ibayaluhu. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. Let me just check if we have any more sponsors today. No, I think that's it. His mother Golda Basimcha Shalom. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of our Daf Yomi Shir. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. The Gemara is going to discuss what happens if you sell an Eved, but only for the rights to collect his Knas, should he get gored by an ox and killed in that way. So is that a valid sale? Meaning that you're not selling the Eved for anything else. All he's getting, all the person who's buying it, is in the event that the Eved gets gored by an ox and is killed, should he get, that buyer will get the Shloshim Shekel. So is that considered a reasonable sale? We're going to relate this to the issue of being mocher davar shelo b'liyolam. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a chatzi eved and chatzi ben chorin is mekadesh and isha, is the kiddushin chal when it's done by chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. Then halfway through Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to switch from a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin to kiddushin on a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin. Does kiddushin work on a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin? And it's going to spend a good deal of time talking about that. That's going to lead us all the way to the Mishnah on the middle of Amud Beis, the discussion on chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about if you sell your Eved to a Nachri or to Chutz La'aretz, where you're costing the Eved the opportunity to do mitzvahs. You sell him to a Nachri, so obviously he has a new master that's going to have certain demands on him that will not allow him to do mitzvahs. You sell him to Chutz La'aretz, he's going to be missing out on all of the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. So what sort of knas do we put in place on a master who decides to sell his Eved into such a predicament, into such a situation? So let's begin. Daf Mem Beis on Beis, five lines on the bottom of the page. So Yibayiluhu, Eved Shemachar Rabbi Leknas, Machar Oeno Machar. If a master sells his Eved only for the sake of Knas, then in the event that an ox gores the Eved, the buyer is going to collect the Knas. But as far as every other right that the master has in the Eved, that is not being sold. So do we assume that the sale is valid or that the sale is not valid because the knas isn't here yet and a person cannot sell that which is lo baliolam? So when in the event that it ever does happen, the knas will actually go to the adon and not to the eved. Now Tosas writes that the mechira of the knas alone, even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that you could normally sell something that's lo baliolam, it would not be a valid mechira because that's not even necessarily something that's going to happen at all, meaning it's not even lo baliolam, it's something that may never be bali olam. So that's not really the shaila the Gemara Tosa says. The shaila the Gemara is not, can you sell the knas that the eved is going to receive, or that the master of this eved is going to receive? That for sure he can't do. The subject of the Gemara is, can you sell the eved vis-a-vis the knas that will be forthcoming? Meaning, to sell directly the knas, that for sure is no good. But to sell the rights in the eved, so you're selling the eved, but only insofar as its knas payments are going to be concerned. That's the shaila in the Gemara. The Ritva says that the suffix of the Gemara is whether you sell the knas or whether you sell the eved l'knas. Either way, it's going to be subject to the same shaila of the Gemara. So anyway, however you understand the shaila, whether you understand like Tosfos that the Gemara's whole shaila is that you sell the eved vis-a-vis the knas, or whether you hold like the Ritva that it could even be talking about where you sell the knas itself, shaila is it a valid sale or not? So says Gemara, Tibayil Rameir, Tibayil Rabbanan. The Gemara understands that our minds immediately will go to being Mocher Davar Shlov Aliyolam, which is a Machlokas Rameir and the Rabbanan. So says Gemara, no, this is going to be a shaila whether you normally assume like Rabbi Meir that a person can be makna davar shelo b'liolam, or whether you assume like the Chum that a person cannot be makna davar shelo b'liolam. Tibayil Rabbi Meir, you could ask the shaila within the Rabbi Meir, because on the one hand the person is makna davar shelo b'liolam, so maybe over here it should work, but on the other hand, kan lo kam Rabbi Meir, Ad kam lo kam Rabbi Meir, ad the makna davar shelo b'liolam, el peros dekel Davidi da'asu. Maybe even a mayor who allows being makna davar shelo b'liolam, maybe that's only when it comes to peros of a dekel, where those peros are ultimately going to be b'liolam aval hacha. But when you're selling your eved for knas, mi yemer demigno, who says that the eved is ever going to be gored by an ox, right? How common are ox gorings? I imagine in ancient times more common than they are today, but still, how common are ox gorings? Is that, you know, it could have been like one of the top five leading causes of death, even in Babylonian times. So it could be that it's never going to happen. Vimtim Salomar Domingach, and even if it's going to happen, Mimaidimishalim, how do you know that the Baal HaShor is going to pay? Dilmamodu Miftar. Even if it happens, the Baal HaShor may not even be required to pay, because there's a rule in Halacha, Modu Beknas Potter. So as long as the Baal HaShor, as soon as you approach him and you say, did your ox gore my oven and kill him? And he says, yeah, Amoda, that happened. That's it. He gets off the hook. He's not going to have to pay anyway. So you really don't know that this payment's ever going to come to fruition. Viti by the Rabbanan, but we also have a suffix, even according to the Chacham, that you're never able to be Makna Dover Shalob El Yolam. Maybe Adkan Lo Kam Rabbanan Eino the Makna Dover Shalob El Yolam Ela Kigon Peros Dekel the Hashtami Alesnehu. Maybe that's only as far as something like Peros Dekel, which right now the Peros do not exist. Aval Hacha, but over here, Haka Ishar Vaka Yeved. It's not that there's something that doesn't exist. The Shar exists, the Eved exists, they just haven't met each other yet. The Shar's horns just hasn't met the Eved yet at this point. So Mai, so maybe the Cham will be Moda, that's called something that is Bali Olam. So the Shaila is still going to stand. Now the Ritva points out that we said that, that even within Rameir, Ad Kan Lokar Rameir Adamakna Dover Shalav El Yolam, is only by the Peros Dekel that are Avidi Da'asu. Now the Ritva points out that according to Rameir, a person could be Mekadesh Anachris Likeshetis Gayer, even though that's not Avidi Da'asu. I mean, if a man goes over to a non-Jewish woman and he says Hare Ad Mekadesh Asli Likeshetis Gayer, after your Gerus is complete. So that's not Avidi Da'asu. And yet Rameir still holds it's included in the ability to make a transaction relating to Davar Shalob El Yolam. So the Ritva writes that that the Ikar HaDavar that is not a Vidi Da'asi, it's just that it can't be that it's low a Vidi Da'asi. So that could just as easily never happen. Over there, it's not Avid Da'asi, meaning it's just not so common that it would come, but it's not in the negative, that it's Dafka, something that's low a Vidi Da'asi, meaning the Ritva basically makes three levels. There are things that are very that are natural to come, like fruits growing on a tree. There are things that are totally out of the realm of even a thought process that it would happen, like an Eved being gored. And then there's someone in the process of Gerus where, it hasn't happened yet, and it's not a natural process, but it's something that very likely will happen. Anyway, so that's the comment of the Ritva. The Rashba raises an important question over here. The Rashba points out that who cares that the Shor and the Eved, the Gemara said within the Sheet of the Rabbanan that you can't be Makna Dover Shalav Eliyolam, maybe this case is different because both the Shor and the Eved are already in the Olam. So the Rashba asks, who cares that the Shor and the Eved are already in the Olam? The Knas is not in the Olam, and the sale is on the Knas. There are a lot of times that the Gemara talks about Dover Shalob El Yolam, even though the physical object is in the Olam. Like even Peros Dekel, the Dekel is in the Olam, it's just that the Peros is not in the Olam, and yet it's still considered a Dover Shalob El Yolam. Or you sell a field that's not yours yet, but you plan on buying later on. So the field is in the Olam, it's just that the ownership that you have on the field is not in the Olam. So why would this be considered any different? So the Rashba writes that what we mean to say over here is that since the Shor and the Eved are right here, you're selling the Eved that it should be yours starting from right now, l'inyan the Knas. Meaning that's considered to be more present because, again, like Tosel said, you're not selling the Knas. You're selling the Eved as far as its rights to the Knas, and even that which is going to cause the rights to the Knas is right here in the Olam. The other Ha'ara to make over here is that Reb Chaim and Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi in Mechira Perek Chav Gimel discusses whether this mechira makes the lokech the bailim lagabe the knas, and therefore the chiyuv goes to him, or it's just that he's zochet tachas the adon, but the adon is the one that the ikar chiyuv goes through. Meaning, when you sell the rights to the knas to somebody else, let's assume for a moment, like the tzad, that it works. So what does it mean that it works? Does it mean that now when an ox gores this eved, the payment goes directly to the fellow who bought the rights to it? Or no, you have to give, the owner of the ox has to give the money to the owner of the eved. The owner of the eved is still the original owner of the eved. It's just that the owner of the eved will now be responsible to turn over that money to the fellow who bought the rights to the money. So that's a suffix that Reb Chaim has in the Sefer. So now the Gemara brings a brisa to perhaps be poshate the suffix. When it comes to an eved of a kohen eating truma, the Torah tells us the kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspel hu yochal bo v'yilid beiso heim yochlu belachmo, that an eved who is a kinyan kaspo or a yilid bias, meaning someone who's owned by a kohen, whether it be that he was born into that avdus of the kohen's family or whether it be that he was purchased by the kohen to be an eved to that kohen's family, in either case the eved of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So v'yilid bias matam lomar, why does the pasuk have to tell me that if he was born into avdus in the kohen's family that he gets to eat truma? Because after all, im kinyan kesef ochel yilid bias lo kol shkein, if someone of the kohen purchased as an eved is allowed to eat truma, then kal v'chomer someone who was born into the avdus should be allowed to eat truma. So it says more ilu kein, if I would have learned yilid bias from a kal v'chomer from kinyan kesef, hayis yomer ma kinyan kesef sheish b'shav kesef ochel af yilid bias sheish b'shav kesef ochel, I would say, well, you know, kinyan kesef you only have if the guy is actually worth a shava kasef, he's worth a shava pruta, some amount of money. So therefore, I might think that even a kohen born into, even an eved rather, born into a kohen's family should only be able to eat truma if he's worth something. How do I know that even if he's worthless as an eved, he's not worth a penny, that he could still eat the truma? Because the pasuk says yilid bias. So even with the phrase yilid bias, I might still say yilid bias bein sheish b'shava kasev bein sheim b'shava kasev ochel kin kasev yesh b'shava kasev ochel ein b'shava kasev ein ochel. I might say that the criteria for someone who's born into avdus to eat truma would be different than the criteria for someone who was bought into the avdus of a kohen. I might assume that someone who's born into the avdus of a kohen can eat truma whether he's worth the shava pruta or whether he's not worth the shava pruta. But someone who is bought into the avdus of a kohen can only eat truma if he still has kinyan kasev, if he still has some value. So Talmud Omer, kinyan kaspo v'yilid beiso. That's why the Torah gives us both of those phrases in close proximity to each other to make a hekesh. That ma yilid bais al pishen shav klum ochel, af kinyan kaspo al pishen shav klum ochel, that just like yilid bais eats truma even though he's worthless, so too, so an eved that was purchased by a kohen, even though he's currently worthless, still gets to eat truma. So based on that, we could be poshed our suffix. The isal kadaitif is eved shemacharu rabbi leknas machur mik avdu dlo mezavim leknasa. This brisa, this whole discussion of the brisa, presupposes the possibility that there could be an eved that is worthless. Well, if the halacha is that you're able to sell an eved for the knas payment that he's going to get should he get gored, you'd imagine you could charge a shava pruta for that. That would mean your eved could be unable to do any work. He could be almost worthless, and he'd still be worth a shava pruta because you could just sell him for the knas shavo. So if it were possible to sell an eved for the rights to the knas, then there's no such thing as a worthless eved. And yet this brisa presupposes that there is such a thing as a worthless eved. So this brisa seems to be a raya that you're not able to sell your eved for the knas payment that you would hope to collect. Now Tosfos raises the question: even if he cannot be sold for the knas, he could be sold entirely. So it has nothing to do with whether you could sell him for just the knas rights. Meaning, if you sell the eved entirely and he's worthless, so whoever buys him for sure gets the rights to the knas. So why don't we just say that? How's this a raya to the shaila about whether you could sell an eved just for the knas? It's really a kasha in general. How could the eved ever be worthless? No eved should ever be worthless because you could always sell an eved, and even if the buyer is getting nothing but the rights to charge for the kanas, but it's but your the sale would still be a binding sale when you sell the eved entirely. So Tos says that no one would want to buy the eved outright if his only value is the potential to collect a kanas payment. I mean, you have to be nuts to buy such an eved, because you got to support him, you got even a place to sleep. So you're going to have this eved hanging around your house that's literally good for nothing except for if you're lucky enough that an ox gores him and kills him. I mean, that's crazy. So no one would ever pay good money for an eved like that. But what someone might pay for is the knas rights of such an eved. So I'll tell the current adon, you keep him, but any knas rights come to me, and for that I'll pay you a nickel, right? Meaning that might be a worthwhile investment. So that's the Gemara's raya. So says Gemara that not every eved is eligible for knas. In ika eved treifa, what if an eved is already a treifa? So the halacha is that a treifa doesn't collect knas. So there is such a thing as a worthless eved if he's an eved treifa. I've a chazi lemekum kameh, but even an eved treifa, you could at least have him do some very minor work around the house. Maybe he can't do heavy lifting or whatever, but there's got to be some menial task that you can give even an eved treifa. Just have him around in case you want someone to get you a coffee or something. So says Gemara, b'menuvel mukashchin. No, he's someone who's so gross that you don't want to have him around at all. That you're frightened of him because he's a mukashchin. Mukashchin, I think, doesn't just mean that he looks bad. I think it was a contagious disease. So you didn't want people who were contagious around you. I think that was the assumption. That it's not just that you don't want to look at the person, that you don't want to get anywhere near the person. Although there's probably some of that also. Meaning sometimes when a person is hard to look at, it could be that you just don't want to have that person around all the time. Someone told me the story that Rebbetzin Trank told the story about Rabbi Trank, that he went to get his car fixed at the mechanic, and there was a truck driver who used to bring his truck in there all the time, and the guy was a bulvan of a guy, tattoos all over the place, and it was in a frum community, so all the frum people, they would take two steps back every time this truck driver would come to get his truck fixed. No one would go anywhere near him. And Rabbi Trank, Zichron Levracha, walked into to the auto body shop. He saw this bulvan of a truck driver with his cut off t-shirt and tattoos everywhere, and he runs over to him and he gives him a hug and he says, "My brother!" And he gives him a kiss. And everyone said to him, "Do you know this guy?" He said, "No, but you see, he's one of us. He has a chai necklace, or he has a Magen David necklace, or something like that." So no one even looked. They wouldn't even look at the guy to see. So there's some people that are hard to look at, but then there are special people that can look at anybody. So anyway, so the Gemara raises a suffix now about a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chor. Oh, by the way, at the end of the day, the Gemara was never poshet this original suffix, right? The original suffix was, can you sell an eved vis-a-vis the rights to the knas? So the Gemara never came to a conclusion. The Rambam in Perichav Gimel of Hilchas Mechira paskins that if you sell an eved the knas, it's a suffix whether he's kona or not, and therefore the lokeach is not kona the knas, but in tafas ein motzi miyado, meaning essentially hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. So if the buyer is tofes the knas, you can't sue him for it, but you can't get it. He won't be able to sue you for it to get it in the first place either, because it's hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. So now the Gemara raises another shaila. Ibayiluhu misha chatzi avu v'chatzi ben chorin shkidish baschor mahu. What if you have a chatzi avu v'chatzi ben chorin and he's mekadish anisha? Is the kiddushin going to be chal? So So if you're going to say that that a Ben Yisrael who tells a Bas Yisrael, I am being Mekadesh you to half of me, so that would work, so maybe the same would be true for a Chatzi of a Chatzi Ben Chorin, that he could be Mekadesh Nisha to half of him. So says Gemara, now you can't learn from there the Chazi of the Kule, because at least in the case of a regular person, she's roughly to be Mekadesh to his entire being. All he means to say is that he should be able to be able to marry another woman besides for her, but he's really being mekadish her to his entire being. But ha lo chazi lekule, but a chazi of a chazi ben chorin, when he's mekadish a regular isha, the chazi eved shabo cannot be mekadish this isha. She's not even roi to his entire being. And if you're going to tell me that a regular Jew who's mekadish mekadesh a chatzi isha is einu mekadeshes, because you can't be mekadesh a chatzi isha. So therefore, maybe over here also a chatzi, you can't have kiddushin to a chatzi ish. No, also not a raya. Maybe over there it's einu mekadeshes to shir bekinyano, because he did not do the full kinyan. He didn't do a kiddushin on everything he could do a kiddushin. He only was mekadesh half of the isha, whereas va eved lo shir bekinyano. But the eved over here was mekadesh the woman to all that he could. He was mekadesh the woman to the maximum of his capacity. So maybe that's not a chisaron. So what's the hakra? How do we paskin? So says Mar Tashmel, let's bring a raya. A shor gores and kills a person. So if he kills a ben chorin, the bala shor has to pay the yorshim kofer, which is the value of the person of the victim. If it was an eved, so then it's shloshim shkolim that goes to the master. So we had said that hamis misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. Let's say a shor kills someone who's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, so nosin chatzi knas l'rabo v'chatzi kofer l'yorshav. You pay half of the knas to the owner of the shor, and you pay half of the kofer to the yorshim half of the knas to the owner of the eved, and half of the kofer to the yorshim of the eved. But v'yamrit kiddush avav kiddushin yorshim minale. But how does he have yorshim? In order to have yorshim, he needs to have children. How did this guy ever get children if he's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin? Ooh, it must be that he's able to be Mekadesh and Isha. So it must be that Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is able to be Mekadesh and Isha. That's the Raya the Gemara has. The Tosos points out that Lechora, this Raya is not understandable at all. Because even if the Kiddushin is not a valid Kiddushin, it's possible to have children. Having children is a biological thing. It's not a halachic thing. Meaning not everybody has children in a way that, that meets with Torah approval or rabbinic approval. It could be that Eichanami, he can't be Mekadesh Isha, he can't get married, but guess what? He has children anyway. So, okay, so he violated an Aveira. But once he has children, they are Yorishim, so you are able to have Yorishim. So Tosfos explains that the Gemara's assumption is that if he's not a Bar Kiddushin in any which way, then there must be no Yichus to his children either, and they're not going to Yarshim him. Meaning Eichanami, he can have biological children, but he cannot have children that are going to yarshin him. That's how Tosos understands over here. So anyway, so says Gemara, the raya is not a good raya anyway. Amra vadbarava kishaso trefa. We're not talking about that the guy died and the yarshim are the ones that are receiving the kofar. He's receiving the kofar because the shor made him into a trefa. So the bala shor has to pay the kofar umay yarshav nafshe. But instead of paying it to his yarshim, that's only if he's dead. He's still alive. It's just that he's a trefa. So they pay it directly to him. So we don't have any raya that he's able to have yarshim. Maybe they're just paying it directly to him. So Rava says there's no way that's what we're talking about. Chado the yarshav katani, because first of all it says yarshav, it doesn't say l'nafshe, it says liyarshav va'od kofer hu va'amrei shlagish kofer mishlai la'achramisa. And furthermore, you don't pay kofer to a living person. You only pay kofer la'achramisa after he's already dead. So that can't be the situation. So Rava's miyashev in a different way. Ella amar Rava. Rava says you don't have to say that the guy has yarshim. When it says that you pay chatzi kofer liyarshav, it means ra'ui litol, but ve'ein lo. That's what by rights should be paid. But the problem is he doesn't have any yarshim, and therefore they won't have to actually pay it. But it would have been that they're ra'ui to take it. So this suffix in the Gemara is also not nifshat, right? We raised this suffix. Can you be mekadesh? Can a chatzia v'chatzia b'chorim be mekadesh an isha l'chatzio? So the Gemara never resolves this suffix. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of the Isha's Paskins that kiddushay chatzia v'chatzia b'chorim is kiddushay suffix, right? Which makes sense because the Gemara was never poshet this suffix. Now the Abnei Miluim in the Tshuvas in the end of the Sefer in Simun Ches raises a question: may nafkamina with the fact that it's ra'ui lital, meaning according to this Ella Amar Rava, that the Chati Kofer is something that's Ra'ui Litol, it's just that no one's ever actually going to collect it. Who cares that it's Ra'ui Litol? I mean, it's not, practically nothing's happening. So the Amud De'ori has a brilliant Nafkamina. He says Nafkamina is that the Eved is not going to be able to sue him for money, because since he's chayv the kofar, he's pater from damim. If he wasn't chayv the kofar, he could be toveya him the dmei hanegicha, so long as he's still alive. But since the guy's chayv the kofar, the chiyuv kofar paters him from money. So the guy actually is chayv the kofar. It's just that there's no one to pay the kofar to. Okay, Amarava. Kishem sham mekadish chati isha inam kadeshes kach chatz yeshiv chatz baschor sheniskadcha ein kiddusha kiddushin. Just like being a chati av chatz ben chorin, or just like someone who's mekadish half of an isha is einam kadeshes. If a woman is a chati av chatz baschorin and someone does kiddushin on her, since only half of her would be subject to that kiddushin, the kiddushin's not going to be chal. Dorish Rabbi Baruf Huna kishem sham mekadish chatz isha einam kadeshes. The Rabbi Rav Huna says exactly like Rava. So I'm like Rav Chista said, Midami, how can you compare a case of being Makadesh Chati Isha to a case where you're Makadesh Chati Shiv Chati Baschorin? Hasam, when you're Makadesh Chati Isha Shir Bikinyanu, you were not Makadesh the maximum of what you could have been Makadesh within that Isha. And that's why it doesn't work. But Hachalo Shir Bikinyanu, but when you're Makadesh Chati Shiv Chati Baschorin, you did your best. You were Makadesh as much as you could within that woman. So Hadar Ukum Rabbi Rav Huna Amora Alei V'Darash. Rabbi Rav Huna later changed his mind, and he established a meturgeman in front of him like they used to have at the time of the drasha, and he corrected himself and he said, you know, the pasuk says Vamachshela Hazos Tachas Yadecha. That we often find that in order for a person to accomplish in learning, he needs to stumble a little bit first. And therefore I stand corrected, that even though if you're Mekadish Chatzi Isha, Zeinu Mekadeshes, and originally I stumbled and I made a mistake and I taught incorrectly, and I said that if you're Mekadish Chatzi Shiv Chatzi Baschorin, that it's Zeinu Mekadeshes, the halacha is not that way. The halacha is that it is Mekadesh. So this idea that you need to be nichshel in a dvar halacha first in order to arrive at the MS is something that is it's a truism, meaning it might not only be related to Torah. This might just be related to intellectual accomplishment in general. That in order for someone to really understand something, there needs to be a certain struggle. There needs to be, you know, trying to figure it out and getting it wrong and then correcting it. That's what the poskim discuss. Maybe a mechaber of a sefer has an obligation to publish a Madura Basra, because once he gets all the feedback and he realizes the mistakes that he made, so he has to correct all the mistakes, because that will be his real learning, is the Madura Basra. Rav Tzadik writes in Sivkos HaTzadik he elaborates on this Gemara that a lot of times when a person is nichshal in anything, I mean, he thinks it's not only in learning, when you're nichshal in anything, a lot of times that's a sign that you're primed to succeed in that area. That when you're nichshel in a particular area, you know, there's a machlokas among the Bali Machshava. Rabbi Reisman likes to talk about this all the time. There's a machlokas among the Bali Machshava. Like when you're trying to work on something in Asar Simei Tshuva, where should you focus your energies? Should you focus your energies on that which is the greatest challenge to you? Or should you focus your energies on that which comes easiest to you? Meaning that which comes easiest to you, you're already pretty good at. So go from good to great. Meaning you can easily become really great at something like that, or should, and things that you're not so good at, you're never going to be great at anyway, so sort of leave those aside for a while, or should you focus your energies on dafka, the things that you are nichshel in, the things that you're not as good at, because maybe that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of telling you that that's where you have unique kochos, and that's why the Yetzer Hara has been working so hard in those areas. So Rav Tzadik is in the second camp, I believe, that you're supposed to focus on those things where you are nichshel, because that's how you're going to ultimately accomplish. So anyway, my time, what's the reason for this halacha that chetz shiv chetz baschorin, that the kiddushin works? Because hasam shir b'kinyano, hachalo shir b'kinyano. When you're mekadesh a chatzi isha, you aren't mekadesh everything that you could have been, but over here you were mekadesh as much as you could of this isha. Amar Rav Shem Shem Kadosh Chatz Yisha Ein Mekadesh Es Kach Chetz Yishim Chetz Baschon Shem Skacha Ein Kiddusha Kiddushin. Rav Shesha says, like we originally thought, that no, it does not work. V'im Nachsha Chadim Lomer, and someone's going to tell you that Eizu Yishivcha Harufa, they're going to bring you a raya, they're going to say, oh, but aren't you familiar with the parsha in the Torah of Shivcha Harufa, that if you are, that there's a concept of an Isha that's a Shivcha that's Necharefes L'ish, where you have to bring Karban Asham if you're Boel a Shivcha Harufa, so there's machlokas tanoim, what shivcha charufa means. Does it mean a full-fledged shivcha, or does it mean a chetzya baschorin, and someone who's miuchedas to an Eved Ivri or to an Eved Kanani, depending on which definition of Shivcha Charufa. So if you assume Ezui Shivcha Charufa, Zol Shechetz Yishivcha Chetz Baschorin, Hamu Urasa Eved Ivri, that it's a Chetz Yishivcha Chetz Baschorin that is designated for an Eved Ivri, Alma Basi Trusehi. But you see that she can have a Kiddushin, that she has Erisin with the Eved Ivri. So Amarlo, you should tell the person, no, you think that really means Erisin? Kalach Eitzel Rabbi Shemael. Look at the other Shita of Shivcha Charufa. Shu Omer B'Shivcha Kananus Amaras Eved Ivri. He says that it's all about a Shivcha Kananus that has Erisin with an Eved Ivri. B'Shivcha Kananus Basit Rusehi. You think that's real Erisin? A Shivcha Kananus has real Erisin with an Eved Ivri? Nah. Elamayasach Lameimar Maimu Uresas Miuchedes. When we define Shivcha Charufa as being Muresas to an Eved Ivri, we don't mean Muresas. We mean that she's designated for the Eved Ivri, but it's not a real Erisin. So Chanami. So within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that it's talking about a chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschorin, my murasas miuchedes. It also doesn't mean real erisin. It just means designated for the Eved Ivri. So we thought we had a raya that chetzi shivcha, from the fact that we talk about a shivcha charufa having erisin, that a chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschorin can have erisin. So the Gemara says, not a raya. It's not really talking about erisin at all. So another issue related to chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschorin, Amar of Chisa, chetzi shivcha let's say there are two brothers. Reuven does kiddushin on her. Then Reuven frees her, and then she goes and has kiddushin with Shimon, his brother, without getting divorced from Reuven. And then both Reuven and Shimon die, so she does yibum with Levi. And we don't say that she's married to two men at the same time, where you're not subject to Yibum, because the first half of her has Kiddushin to Reuven. The other half of her, who's been freed, now has Kiddushin to Shimon. And Eish Shnei Mesim is only when there's overlap. So, manavshach, I kiddushin to Reuven kiddushin. But over here, if the kiddushin of Reuven is a valid kiddushin, because you're able to have kiddushin be toe-face on half of her, kiddushin to Shimon, not kiddushin, then the kiddushin on Shimon is not a kiddushin, because when she was freed, she became Reuven's full-fledged wife. V'i kiddushin to Shimon kiddushin. And if the kiddushin of Shimon is a valid kiddushin, that's only because kiddushin to Reuven, not kiddushin. Meaning, in this case, she wasn't married to both of them. She was only really married to one of them. We just don't know which one. If you could be Makadesh Chatzi Isha, so Reuven was Makadesher, and then as soon as she was freed, the Kiddushin spread to her entirely, and she was fully married to Reuven. And if Reuven's Kiddushin was not a valid Kiddushin, then when Shimon came along and was Makadesher, so that's when Shimon, that's when she got married. So the Gemara discusses weiter regarding Chatzi Shuv Chatzi Baschorin. Itmar, Chatzi Shuv Chatzi Baschorin Shem Neskatcha L'Reuven, V'Nishtachro V'Chazum Neskatcha Shimon. Let's say she had kiddushin with Reuven, then she was freed, and then she had kiddushin with Shimon. Rav Yosef Bar Chama Amar Rav Nachman Paku Kiddushin Rishon. That when she was nishtachrer, the shichur causes the kiddushin of the first husband to go away, because since she has gone through this change, she's like a katan shenolad, and only the second fellow's kiddushin is going to be chal. Rav Zera Amar Rav Nachman Gomru Kiddushin Rishon. That when she was freed, then it just completes the kiddushin with the first guy, that Reuven's kiddushin now becomes complete on her, on the entirety of her being, and therefore Shimon's kiddushin is totally invalid. So Rabbi Zeira says, I'll prove to you that I'm right, that it's Gomru kiddushin rishon, that she's now entirely married to Reuven. Kavasi didi mistaver d'chsev, because the pasuk says lo yumsu ki lo chupasha, that someone who's baal shivcha charufa, who's a chetz shivcha chetz baschorin, is lo yumsu, he's not going to be chayiv misa like someone who's baal inesh ish, because ki lo chupasha, that because she was not freed. So what does that tell you? Ha chufsha yumasu. But it sounds like had she been freed, then she'd be fully married to this fellow, and therefore you would be chayiv misa for inesh ish. So you you see that Gomru Kiddush Rishon. Someday Abaye Veir says back to Rabbi Zeira, if you're going to be Medayik that Ulu Tamdibei Rabbi Shmuel Damer Rabbi Shimcha Kananus Amuresas Lovid Ivri, that according to the Tamdibei Rabbi Shmuel, that Shivcha Harufa is a reference to a full fledged Shivcha Kananus. That as Erusin with an Avid Ivri Hachanami Diki Chupsha Yumasu. In such a case, does that mean that if she gets freed, then she becomes a full fledged Eishas Ish? No, certainly not. You can't say that Gomru Bakidushin after the Shichur. She was never really his wife to begin with. So what do you think it means? It means that she was freed and then you did Kiddushin on her. So then she's going to be a married woman. Then someone's going to be Chayv Misa. So over here also, where if we assume it means a Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Baschorin, the diuk in the Pasuk is that Hachu Pasha, that had she been freed, and the chazav in iskacha, and then got married, then you'd be chayiv misa for being with her. So it's not a raya at all. So now the Gemara brings a maisa relating to chatzi shiv chatzi baschorin. Amar Avunu Bar Katina, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, maisa bishachas shechatzi shiv chatzi baschorin. There was a woman who was a chatzi shiv chatzi baschorin, v'kafus rabba va'asa'a baschorin, and they forced her master to make her a baschorin entirely. Meaning, just like we have by a chatzi avad chatzi ben chorin, that ultimately the Beis Hillel even agreed that you force the master to free whatever remaining ownership stake you have, so too by chatzi shivcha chatzi baschorin. So come on, who are we assuming like that you're going to force the master to free whatever ownership stake he still has? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka to Amar al shneihem hu omer vayvarchas melukim vayomer puruvu malu, that we're assuming like Shita Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that the mitzvah of puruvu is for both man and woman. So a woman is also mitzvah in puriya v'ruvia. So since she would be she'd be batel from Pruvu so long as she remains in this uneven state, so we force the master to free her. Tosas raises the question that even regardless of whether a woman is Shayach and Pruvu, Tosas back on the mouth and Beis asks, she's for sure Chayiv and Lashavis Yitzara. Why don't we force him to free her on account of that, on Lashavis Yitzara, even if you don't hold like Rabbi Yochum and Broka? So Tosas says that it could be that we're going to free her and then she's not going to get married. Because if she's not mitzvah and puruvu, there's nothing pushing her to get married. So I'm not going to force the master to free her and then watch as she doesn't get married and do what we had freed her in order to enable her to do. So Amar Nachum Yitzchak, rejects this and he says, no, lo, that's not why we force the master to free her, not because she has any chiv and puruvu, but rather because minik hefker na'aguba. It's because people are treating her like hefker. They're treating her like a zona. So since she has no man in her life to be miyucha to and to guard her and to protect her from such things, so that's why we force the master to free her. Tulsus raises the question, but since when do we say chatei kedeshi yizka chavircha, that we're going to tell you to violate the Yisra of Liyala Vem Tavodu in order that she'll benefit and stop living life like a zona? So Tulsus raises that question, but apparently this is an exception to that rule. Okay, now we move on to the new Mishnah. So says the Mishnah on Mem Gimel and Beis. Hamocher Abdullah of the Chavim. If a person sells his Eved to a non-Jew, Olu Chutzlaretz, or he sells his Eved to go into Chutzlaretz. So we have to be choshesh that the Lokeach is going to take the Eved to wherever he lives, and he's going to be Mafkia the Eved from the Mitzvah, Satilius Baretz. So there's a Knas Midrabanan that Yotze Ben Chorin, that the Eved goes free, he goes out of his Shibud, and the master is chayiv to make him a ben chorin. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa that elaborates. Hamocher Avdolav Chavim. If you sell your eved to an Avdolav Chavim, yotzal the chayvus. The eved goes free from his shibud, and the guy who bought him is not the guy who's poda him from that new owner is not allowed to be meshabed in the eved. Vitzarach get shukr merab rishon, and you need to get shukr from the original master. Amram Shemuel b'med dvar mamurim shalok kasev alav ono. That when do we say that's true? That's only if you didn't write ono at the time of the mechira to an achri, you didn't write a shtar that says a mashmaus of shichrur and give that to the eved. Aval kasav alav ono, but if you wrote some sort of shtar that has a mashmaus of shichrur and you handed that over with the eved, zehu shichrur, then that will count as the get shichrur, and you're not going to need any other shtar in order for him to be mutar bas yisrael. My ono, what is the lashon of ono mean? What's the Lashon Shichur that's written in the Shtar that gives the Eved the ability to go free, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So I'm Rav Sheshes Tekasav Leihachi, that you write the following Lashon. Likishetivrach, if you manage to run away from your new master, Likishetivrach Mimenu, Ein Li Esek Becha, then I will have no tainas in you, I have no dealings with you whatsoever. So you're Mesalik, your Shibud from the Eved. So that's the Mashmos of Lashon of Siluk Rishus of the original master. The Eved is therefore going to be Zocha Ba'atzmo after the master's Mochel on that Shibud, and therefore he's not going to require a further Get Shichur. So Be'ez Hashem, where we're going to pick up tomorrow, is we're going to discuss this concept of Ono, meaning that Lashon of Shichur, where you're saying that I have nothing to do with you anymore. And we're going to bring a Braisa and that elaborates on the Kenas that the Chum make for selling an Eved to a Nachri, or selling an Eved into Chutz La'aretz. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanu Rabbanan. Everyone have a wonderful evening. Yeah,